So have been following service, you know that God is here. From every beat that we've been doing. And when we sing these songs, they are prophetic.
Yes, sir.
If you don't sing, and if you don't talk about it, it's left to you. Hallelujah. But you will not say that God did not visit me. Amen. Amen. If he says, Jehovah turns my life around, and we said that we are standing on holy ground, if you know the ministry of angels, you will latch on to this period because they are here. You see, the Bible says, are they not ministering spirits? Hallelujah. And it says that, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, in the voice of his rod. Hallelujah. Psalm 103 verse 20. Bless the Lord, who his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, in the voice of the word. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation? And that's why the Bible says clearly, you shall not say before an angel, it was a joke. Hallelujah. Amen. Because they will do, and they will do the words that they hear, especially God's word. Hallelujah. And so if God's word is that it will turn your life around, the Bible says all his thoughts, they are of good, not of evil, to bring you and I to an expected end. Hallelujah. Don't say what's wrong with this man that is always forming and forming on the pulpit. That's the way we have been designed. You cannot form except in the presence of God. So if the word says that he has turned my life around, because his angels are here, they will echo unto the voice of his word. Hallelujah. My voice says the Lord has turned my life around. The angels know that the Lord has turned my life around, and the angels will walk to make it come to pass. And for as many as will say, the Bible says, line where Boro, emiosi kuni oluwawi, when you open your mouth, I will feel it. When you close your mouth, there's nothing to feel. Amen. It's not me. Hallelujah. We cannot be in God's presence and not go without something tangible. Amen. Hallelujah. When people encounter God, there are two things that happen. They receive knowledge. Some will receive knowledge and some will receive revelation. There are two different things. Knowledge is simple. A car can move from A to B. Hallelujah. And revelation is how you move that car. Revelation is a personal thing. Amen. Knowledge is general. Hallelujah. Amen. And when God's word comes to you, it comes to you in form of revelation. Amen. And you can run with it. Hallelujah. Jehovah turns my life around. Jehovah turns my life around. He makes the way where there is no way. Jehovah has the final say. Hallelujah. This morning we read in Psalm 64? Hallelujah. He says, Jehovah turns my life around. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Amen. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He says, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. Hallelujah. Ekapo baligra rabaska taliga la bangaria. Ereboska taligra bonka kinga lisa talida badaya. Ekapan laska talida broska talia. Oh manga teke ke po prate se te diga. Oh, open your mouth this morning. Rekra basaria. There are angels all around. Resata da da babakadia. Mangla doske ke liga. What do you want to see? Hallelujah. Eke boske te diga. Open your mouth and I will feel it, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Ekra tope ke dire baseka diske te liga. Now is the time of salvation. Hallelujah. Ekra boske te liga. Maka palopo baliga la basetaria. Ekre de boske te diga boske te diga. Le platon pre de baska da boske te diga. Ekeke basete liga. E platon pra kingra da baseka la basetaria. Maka paska ta liga da basetaria. E babla doske te liga. E pratika kaposke te liga basetaria.
Maga boca liga la base de liga. Egra boca de base de liga. Le creque liga la base de liga. The Lord will arise. He will arise. Hallelujah. E kabos ke te tiga raba sakaria. E mangrabase de liga. Psalm 102 verse 13. E kapan lo prase ke diga. Manglato ke ke poten de disadaria. Malebos katanda ligra base de liga. Psalm 102 verse 13. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. E kapasa de liga. If there's anything that you have been looking for. Yes. The set time has come. The angels of the Lord, they echoing unto the voice of this word. Hallelujah. This is the word of the Lord. God will arise. He will have mercy on Zion. Hallelujah. For the time to favor her. Yes, that set time has come. Hallelujah. Do not miss it. Hallelujah. Oh, the set time has come. The time has come. Hallelujah. He turns your life around. Hallelujah. Oh, he makes a way where there seems to be no way. Oh, scatter bosque te liga. Eh, kapunga katiga rabase galia. Eh, masa de bosque de liga. Matoke que diga le bosque de liga. Eh, de bosque que diga rabasa de liga. Eh, ye babase de liga. You will arise, oh Lord, make a bazaria, and have mercy on your people. Hallelujah. Oh, skete liga. For the time to favor. Eh, de bosque de liga. Yes, the set time has come. Eh, bosque te liga. This is your set time. The Lord will arise. Yes, the set time has come. Thank you, Lord. You will arise, oh Lord. You will arise, and have mercy on Zion. Oh, skete liga da baba sekaya. Eka ke gosto de boske de liya. Matoke eke bosa de boske de liya. Maklados ke de boka da baba liya. From the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Eklados ke liga da baba. The spirit of the Lord is engulfing you. Ekladom bladis ke liya. This is your time. Hallelujah. Matoba legala eke boseka disa. Yes, the set time has come. God, we give you praise. Oh, Raskata Basaria. He makes a way where there seems no way. Jehovah
has the final say.
Jehovah turns my life
around.
Because it is set time.
Jehovah turns my life.
Oh, yes. He makes a way where there seems no way.
Jehovah has the final.
Father, we give you all the praise.
Hallelujah.
We say thank you, Reka Bon Sataria, and we magnify your name, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning and welcome to church once again. Hallelujah. I know the day is gone. It won't take much of our time. But remember Psalm 103 verse 20. Remember Psalm 102 verse 13. And remember Hebrews 1:14. Hallelujah. Amen. Last week, my opening text was from Romans 15 verse 4. Can we have Romans 15 verse 4? It says, whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Amen. For whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Hallelujah. So when we read the scriptures, and we read or we study. When we study, when we read. Amen. So when we read, you make a study of what, out of what you read. So you don't just read and then let it pass. You pause and you look at everything that you're reading and begin to study the lines. So that when life's questions come, you'll be able to answer from the things that you have been empowered with. Okay, so when we go to school and then they give us examinations. Okay? And examinations, you cannot write your exam based on my script. Hallelujah. So when you are writing exams, you can't write your exam based on my script. Well, you shouldn't anyway. Because you stand in error. I think it was a set before my set that they started twisting questions. Everybody will have the same question, but they will have it in different order. Okay, so my number one will not be your number one. But then you find out that same question is in both question papers. Okay? So if you choose to do objective and say A, B, C, number 1 to 5, B, D, F, E, G, say, Moscow, what's number 1 to 5? Say B, D, F, G. The person will miss it. Because your question papers are not the same. The questions are the same. That's how life is. So it's the same questions life throws at us. But it throws those questions at different times. So there's no template to answer those questions from one man to another, except that it's written by God. It says, for those things that were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. So, know this and know this very well. And that's why we say there's no formula. You know that when you do objectives, they put formula. Abi, you still have formula. 1 to 50. You say you can draw a pattern for it. That pattern will not work for everybody. Hallelujah. The pattern that works, that we work, or that works, and will always work, is by everybody having knowledge of the things that is being asked. Hallelujah. Having gone through the process of studying it. Amen. So if you all study, and we study Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, for instance. Okay? No matter the questions they bring from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, okay, because we all have the same knowledge, basic knowledge about Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we are not going to run in error when those questions come. Hallelujah. Amen. All of us have different levels of confidence when we go to exam room. Me, for one, when I was in school, if I'm going for an exam, I don't read. So if I have an 8 o'clock exam, if I didn't study, I will stop studying by 3 a.m. If I didn't study before, I stop studying by 3 a.m. Anything after 3 a.m., it will be like dance steps in my head. You know, sometimes those dance steps, they look like, what are you doing with these steps? If you look at, you know how to dance typewriter. So when we used to dance typewriter, so don't worry if you don't know. Do you know MC Hammer? Okay, what do you know about MC Hammer? We need to pray. That's what I know about MC Hammer. We need to pray just to make it a day. That's the song he sang. And then in that song, he had the typewriter dance. Okay? And that's why you have those shokoto that is like this. Okay. Now, so if it gets to 3 a.m. and I'm still reading, everything I'm reading will be like that dance. Everything just scatter. So I stop. And there's nothing you can do to tell me. Even if you tell me that, did you read this topic? I will not read it again. That's how I'm wired. I won't. Then I go to the exam room and I won't talk to anybody. I just be quiet so that nothing escapes. The one that is in me. That was how I was. Okay? Because I'm trying not. I don't late study. You know, late study. So that I don't forget. I don't get excited. And then I'm trying to remember everything again. But then some people come to the exam room and they sit down and they are relaxed. and they take their Bibles and they begin to write. Okay? Some people go to the exam room, they quickly look for scrap paper. That note that they have crammed, they not start, it's not cheating. They just, because they know that they will forget along the line, they just write it down, and write it down so that in case they do, but it's not cheating. Everybody has a way that he wants to manage his own system. Hallelujah. But the people that are prepared, you will never see them fretting an exam room. You will never. And you never see them starting jot. Because it has become part of them. What they used to tell us is that every day, as you have been taught, you go back and you learn. You go back and you learn. So over time, they will consistently work like that. So that even when they say exam is tomorrow, they are not in error. You know, some lecturers will come and say they squeeze. You just enter class, they just say they squeeze. They just say everybody, The ones that have studied, you will not say, They will just say, bring it on. That's what you will be saying. Hallelujah. As you study the word of God, and as life brings its questions, you will say, bring it on. Because there is nothing that this life wants to send your way that the word of God cannot take care of. It says that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Amen. In the story of Lazarus, John chapter 11, let me just read verse 11. These things he said, John 11:11 says, these things he said, and after that he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Amen. We are speaking to situations. He says these things that were written before. They were written for our learning, so that we through the patience, okay, and the comfort of the scripture. So the scripture offers patience, and it offers us patience. Hallelujah. And then he offers us comfort. That we through that patience and comfort that they offer, we may have hope. And in this story, you will draw out hope. Hallelujah. So he says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then in verse 14, then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And then, in verse 23, when he met Martha and Mary, okay, and they were telling him that, okay, why are you just coming? He has been long gone. Jesus said to them, your brother will rise again. Hallelujah. Reading it in blocks so that it won't take too much time. And then in verse 40. Yeah, but before we go to 40, let me give context to it here. Let's take it from verse 31. But we're in verse 40. So in verse 23, he says, your brother will rise again. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the pool to weep there. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how we loved him. And some of them said, could this man who opened the eyes of the man of the blind also have kept this man from dying. Amen. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. This verse 23 is very important. Jesus said, your brother will rise again. In verse 39, he said, take away the stone. Okay. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Hallelujah. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, very important, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you will see the glory of God? Amen. In verse 23, he said to her, your brother will rise again. And when he's speaking, when God is speaking, they are not mere words. He says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. In verse 40, he said, did I not say to you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Why did he say that to her? Because she came telling him, that why are you ordering the stone to be moved away? That guy has been dead for 4 days. It's a hopeless case. Romans 15 verse 4. So Mary was telling Jesus, can you imagine? He was telling Jesus that this is a hopeless case. He's been dead 4 days and the stench will be plenty. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4. For whatever things were written before, we're reading for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. The scriptures can be exchanged as the word of God. Hallelujah. God expects that when he speaks his word to you, you have comfort in it, and you believe what he has spoken to you. Because in your believing, that's when you see. Hallelujah. You will not have doubt in your mind. Okay? You will see because you will not put obstacles of unbelief in the way of what he wants to do. When in verse 23 he said, your brother will rise again, in verse, what's the other verse I said now that you skip? The one that I said, he rolled the stone away. Verse 39. He said, take away the stone. That was a command issued by Christ. And then Mary looks at the command and says, this command is going to cause it's going to do more hard work than good. Okay, so to her, the environment where they were in was okay. Opening that stone, taking that stone away, will bring a lot of emotions up. It will cause a lot of anguish because there will be stench. Okay? And then Martha, the sister of him, was said, Lord, by this time there's a stench. Sorry, Martha, I've been saying Mary, and you didn't correct me. Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then verse 41 says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of these people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Amen. So eventually, they obeyed. Okay? Then they took the stone away. And when, in verse 43, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And when he who had died came out, bound hand and foot. God is wonderful. I don't know how they bound him. And he could come out. He must have come out like a mummy. You know what mummies are? Because they will bind his leg. They will wrap everything now. Nothing will be. So this story is just not an ordinary story. You need to picture it very well. The man was bound. And the way he would have been bound, not a single part of his body would have been exposed. Okay? And Christ issued the command and he came forth. Okay? Then he says, the man dead came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Yet he knew the way out. Hallelujah. Number one, he could get up. It's just that we cannot practice it. Try it when you get up. Tell happiness to tie your hand and your leg. Please tie his hand and his leg and tell him to get up. Or even if your hands and your leg are not tied, just lie down on your bed and try to get up without using your hand. Don't roll to the side, though. Try to get up without using your hand. And you see how difficult it is. It's practically almost impossible. Especially now when you are bound hand and leg. And yet, he got up and found his way out of that tomb. There is nothing that can stop the command of God. No physical constraint or boundary when the command is issued by God. Because we all just read this story and say, okay, maybe they wrapped one leg like this, and wrapped one leg like this, and wrapped one hand like this. Maybe they wrapped each one separately. They wrapped him. They wrapped. Hallelujah. God's words, the power, he says, the power of God's word, he can, you know, we say between soul and spirit is very thin. He can divide neatly and separate for you soul and spirit. And there is no obstruction to the command of God. And that's what he expects us to live by as well. He says, greater things that he has done, we will do. Amen. So the things that he saw him do, he says, greater things you will do. And that's why we have been taught that you ought in every situation issue the faith command. Hallelujah. And that's why I was pointing out to you that these things are commands all the way from the point that he told his sister that, you know what? He said, did I not tell you that your brother will rise again? Okay? And then he says, roll away the stone. First of all, came and said, he's been dead. See, if the dead could hear that command, how much more the living? God deals with us in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. Because man was dead. But God will connect with you and I in the spirit. And when he issues his command, those commands go to our spirit man. Amen. And then Lazarus came forth, and when he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Another command. The people that thought that he had been dead 4 days, he was thinking, were the same set of people that he said to them, loose him and let him go. When we are faced with situations, and we go to God with our request, okay? So, for instance, in this particular story, what Martha and her sister expected when they sent to him this guy is sicko, expected him to come, pray for him. We cannot limit God and box God into what we think he should do. Be careful. You get what I'm saying? Say, you cannot decide for God how God will respond to your situation. That's what I'm saying. Because you miss it when you decide that he has to. She told him, I said, since we sent to you, if you had come, he would not have died. Hallelujah. You are saying to the one whose words are spirit and life that if he had come, he would not have died. Now, granted, because some people will argue, granted, they may not have been able to experience or know him as much as we do today. But they were living in the same time with him. We are living on we are able to relate with that time because of the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We don't have Christ with us physically. Okay? How do I explain it to him? Okay, so you know that all these people that rule, all people that rule us, they are ordinary men. Abi? They're just like Mr. Sajiri. Like Mr. Sajiri, just if you pinch him, you can put pencil on his chair. That's what we used to do at school. Yes, very not that naughty. That's why I used to take letter home. Don't mind me. I used to take letter home every week. Is that I put pencil on somebody's chair so that he sits? Or you put rubber band and you pull it, then he hits his head. Okay? I was just that naughty. Okay? But they are just ordinary men. But because you have put them in a position and you have given them title, in your mind, it becomes very big. Abi? So that when, if, assuming now, which one, who will I do that will not be, okay, assuming the President of the United States comes in here now. Some people have goose pimples. So, wow. But it's just an ordinary man that is coming in. But that title that he holds is what in your mind has made him that big. Abi? So much so that if he does the ordinary thing, if he removes his shoe now, say, how can the President of the United States be? That's what we all do. Abi? Now, these guys, we lived in that same era with Christ. So everywhere that he went, whatever news that they had about him, it was that big to them. And all of a sudden, Martha and Mary wanted him to come. Okay? And they wanted him to come. And those things that he did, or that they think that he could do, were the limits of the things that they could understand about him. Are you getting me? It's the limit of the things that they could understand about him. Because you won't bother to think about other things. But yet there's other things that he normally would do. I was saying, don't box God and decide for God how will he attend to your queries or to your requests. All you need is a spirit-filled mind, spirit-filled body, hallelujah, and faith-filled commands. Amen. If we say he will do what he says he will do, the issue is that that's what he says he will do. We always define it our own way. But if he says I'll bring it to an expected end, what's the end that everybody expects? It's good. Abi? Or are you not quiet now? The end everybody expects is good. Right? You end up everything being good, everything is fine. You wake up, everything is fine. That's how you get to that expected end, is what he's saying you need not bother yourself about. He said, except for the words I've spoken to you, those are the words you should ride upon. He said to her, have I not told you that if you believe, your brother will rise again? And when he was about doing what he knew best to do, liberating men, he came and said, this guy has been dead. The greatest obstacle to God's work is the body and the flesh of man. Romans chapter 8. I just want to explain to you how the flesh limits God. He says here, Romans chapter 8 verse 3,
says, for God has done what the law could not do. His power being weakened by the flesh. The Bible says, the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh. Subdued, overcame, deprived it of his power over all who accept that sacrifice. Hallelujah. So the spirit and the flesh, they war. Okay? But here the Amplified Bible is expounding to you what flesh is. It says it is the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. So when they say you are walking in flesh, you are walking without the Holy Spirit. And that's why, so it is possible for you to walk in flesh now, and then you suddenly realize yourself, and then you go and get the help of the Holy Spirit, and then you walk in spirit. Amen. Then it's also possible for you to step out of it again. Because you have to take you subduing it and overcoming the flesh. And when God's word comes, the first person that will riot is the flesh. Hallelujah. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of righteousness. Our spirit man is absolutely intact. But our flesh needs the spirit to subdue it. Amen. So we don't just take God's word lightly and not seek the help of the Holy Spirit. So back to John 11. If you look at the beginning of that John 11, before anything happened at all, Christ told his disciples in verse 4, when Jesus received the message, he said, the sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. John 11, verse 4. Let me read the NKJV. It says, when Jesus said that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Hallelujah. God knows the end from the beginning. That's what he means. This is where man is limited. Man stays at the beginning and begins to concord and plan the end. But God knows the end from the beginning. And that's from that end that God works from. So when Christ was telling her that your brother will live again, he was talking from the end point, not from the point where they were. And so if they had been working with the help of the Spirit, they would also have been able to understand that Christ was seeing the end, not the beginning where they are. And more often than not, we take things from the beginning, not the end. God sees us from his own pedestal, the finished works of Christ. That's who he sees us as. Hallelujah. The one that has been redeemed, that's what he sees. The one that has no disease, the one that is healed, that's what he sees. Hallelujah. When he looks at us. But when we don't look at ourselves the way he looks at us, we will always ask him questions the way Martha has asked him. So even before he set out on that journey, he said, you know what? This is just to glorify God. And you need to begin to see things in God's perspective. And you cannot do it except that nature of man has the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So oftentimes people will say they are not rich, they are poor. Please don't be joining them to say let the poor breathe. Don't join the ones that are poor. Are the ones that do not know Christ.
Because some people now, they think it's slogan. But these words are prophetic. And that's how the devil does. That's how the devil works. Until everybody is entrapped by ensnared by the words of their mouth, they will not see it. They will think they will say it's a slang. Say, let the... God is not dealing with poor beings. He said, for your sakes, he became poor so that you might be what? Rich. Hallelujah. And in that, please give me that Romans 8, verse 3 in the Amplified Version. I want to show you something. And it's not everybody that will understand it that way. But this is the comfort and the patience that the scripture brings to us. So he says that for God has done what the law could not do. Its power being weakened. So the power of the law is weakened by what? The flesh. Abi? Am I right? Are you sure I'm right? Because this is what is written. It says, for God has done what the law could not do. Its power. That's the power of the law. Being weakened by the flesh. So that the entire nature of man so this flesh is the entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. Okay? He says, and what did God do? What has he done? Sending his own son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh, subdued, overcame, and deprived it of his power over all who accept the sacrifice. Which sacrifice is that? The sacrifice of his son. So those who accept the sacrifice of his son are the ones that can subdue and overcome and deprive that law of his power. Hallelujah. So once you begin to subdue and suppress the flesh, you are more than a conqueror. Amen. But you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So every step that you take outside of the Holy Spirit, you are going to be walking as a mere carcass, just the natural human flesh that is limited. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you what I explained to my people yesterday. I said, you know that we have traffic light. A traffic light, most people never used to obey. They just, if it's red, everybody will just go. If it's showing green, some people just even park in the middle of the road. Nonsense. But there's a law. That law, that traffic light, Abi, is in place. But people do not obey it. Does the law not have power? He has now. But human nature of disobedience has weakened that power for that law. That's what he's saying. He said, for what God has done, the law could not do. His power being weakened by the flesh. So that power, all our misbehavior has weakened that traffic light. Okay? It's just an analogy. And then technology came and designed cameras. Okay? And what has the camera done? The camera sees all things and has now given power to that traffic light. That even as it's there, nobody dares pass. So now it looks like that traffic light now has power. But it's because there is an enabling force behind it. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what the Holy Spirit does when it comes to your human nature. When you have the Holy Spirit with the human nature, you have like something like that camera that gives access and power to every law that is available. Amen. Now, the day you and I know that camera is not working, what will happen? That's when you are out without the Holy Spirit. Are you getting me? I'm not saying Holy Spirit, please. I'm not saying Holy Spirit's camera. I'm just using it to explain. No, because tomorrow some people will now say that's what Pastor said. I did not say that. It's just an explanation how the human flesh has to be subdued by something external to the law, and that's why Christ said, "I have not come to abolish the law, but to do what? To fulfill it." Amen. Because that's what the Bible is telling you here. That you know what the Lord could not do? He sent his son to come and do it. So that everyone that accepts that sacrifice is able to subdue and overcome and deprive the flesh of the power. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us all understand that God sees the end from the beginning. And so when he's speaking to you, he's speaking to you from the end point. Hallelujah. When he told Peter to come, to walk on the water, he said, come. What he saw was the end. It's not about whether he has the ability or not. It was a command. Come. This command, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. And even before that, he knew the end that this is not unto death. Amen. Let not circumstances or situations determine how you respond to God. Because everything that God has told you in the scriptures, they are supposed to bring you patience and comfort. And that comfort gives you hope. And the man that has hope understands that whatever he needs, he will get it. Amen. When I was about to leave school, I thought my father would send me to the U.S. Huh? So I had that belief and that hope. Then, I think 6 months before I left school, he died. That hope, it just went to zero. Like that. Amen. I'm telling you what hope is. Hope, the end of hope is very good. It's a positive response to whatever you are believing. Huh? That's why they say you should not entertain fear. Like Job did. If you entertain fear, is your hope, is a positive response. That's what will happen. But when you stay with God's word, which is the end point, and you take it as he says it, you will be able to issue faith commands and you see things happen. Christ did not have to tell Lazarus to come forth, but he told you the reason, that you and I may believe. Hallelujah. Amen. He did not have to pray, but he said the reason, that these people, as much as he had worked with them, they still had that unbelief in them. You have to believe God's word in entirety and take it as he says. Let nothing make you waver at God's word. Is this word true? It's taking too long. There is a waiting time. Hallelujah. You know, that's the annoying thing about the hospital. When you go to the hospital, now you carry somebody to go to the hospital, you give them, say, take care of it. And then tell you, no, there's a visiting time. It's my wife. You say, no. There's a visiting time. You don't begin to wonder. So you have to wait until that visiting time. Some people will never be able to. They will make noise from morning to night. Nothing will happen. But during that visiting time, when you go in, nobody just come and tell you, get out. Abi, nobody will say that. But once that period is over, they will tell you to go. But you know that all of us can abide with those instructions because we can relate with the authorities that give those instructions. We also need to be able to relate with God when we are passing through a waiting period. For Martha and her siblings, it was a waiting period between the time they sent to Christ and the time when Christ came and said, Lazarus, come forth. But in between, they were not able to understand what was happening. And you and I, this has been written so that we understand that there's patience and there's comfort. Inasmuch as it was painful to them, at the end of the day, the joy that came surpassed the pain. Hallelujah. So when you read the scriptures, please learn from them. Ask the Spirit, why am I reading this story? You know, now if you tell him, I'm going to read the story of Christmas, I'll say, I know the story of Christmas. Abi? That's what everybody will say. But then if you sit down and say, okay, why must I read the story of Christmas? You will see the reason why you have to read the story of Christmas. Psalm 119. Verse 49 and 50. It says, remember your word to your servant, in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Hallelujah. Remember your word to your servant. Hallelujah. In which you have made me hope. So in that word, you get hope. And it says that this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. If you cannot wait for it, you will not be able to see it. Hallelujah. But all you have to know is that when you are waiting, it is never in vain. Hallelujah. When you are waiting, it is never in vain. There are so many things tied to your waiting. But the first thing you have to know is that when you are waiting, it is never in vain. God will always show up because he sees the end from the beginning. Let us rise on our feet. This hope, it helps us to keep going even when things look tough. It helps us keep going even when things look tough. It is comfort for us even in our darkest moments. Hallelujah. And it is help to us all the way. Let's just thank him this morning. Thank him because we understand with the help of the Spirit what he has come to do for us. We understand with the help of the Spirit what Christ is to us. And then indeed, we are able to wait till we see the accomplishment of those promises. He says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Oh, Rapa Sakali Seteria. He says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Ma kapo setetika plato kapo ka setetika. He says, if you abide in me and I in you, then you bear fruit. Hallelujah. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in me bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Just thank him this morning. And we are not going to live our lives without him. And him that he has given to us says, I will send you the Spirit, Holy Spirit, that will lead you and guide you into all truth. It will bring to remembrance everything that I have taught you. Hallelujah. And this is what you are reading in Romans 15 verse 4. That these are our reading. We are reading for our learning. So when the Holy Spirit guides you to read the scriptures, it's because he's teaching you and bringing to remembrance the things that Christ has taught. So that it's for our benefit. Lord, we give you all the glory and praise. We thank you because we are never lacking of your words. They bring comfort to us at all times, teaching us patience as we pass through life. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God.